What's up, Wildlings? Before we get started, let me tell you about the brand new sponsorship deal that I just inked with Audible. You guys know Audible. It's an Amazon company. We all use Amazon. And if you're a Sean vs. Wild listener, Audible is going to hook you up, bro. I'm talking 30 free days of the Audible service so you can test it out, see what you think about it, and they're also going to give you a credit for a free audio book. And if you're like me and you love to read, but you're also really busy, audiobooks great, man. At the gym, on the go, in your van, when you're driving from town to town and you don't have time to crack open a book, Audible is what is up, guys. And also, when you sign up for Audible, you're helping out the Sean vs. Wild podcast. They're going to give me some kickbacks here. Pretty simple. If you want to support the show and get a free audiobook and get a free month of Audible, all you have to do is go to your desktop or laptop. Don't do this on a mobile right now. Desktop or laptop only. Go to www.audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. Go ahead and click get your free 30 days, sign in with your Amazon account, pick out the book that you want, and when you do, they're going to give a kickback to me to help me keep the lights on here at the Smithsonian. Again, audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild. Get your free 30 days and get your free audiobook right now. All right, Internet, you wanted the best. You got the best, the hottest podcast in Louisville, the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, as always, the man, the myth, the Sean Thriller Smith, the guy putting rad back into talk radio. Hopefully everyone has been enjoying their Labor Day weekend. Hopefully you guys got all three of those days off and you've been enjoying the Sean vs. Wild podcast on your time off. If not, guys, this is a great day to catch up. Last week I had Brian Whiteman from Emmanuel, two parts of it. Today, I have my good friend Cliff Worsham, a.k.a. Brian Worsham, a.k.a. Motherhood, from a little band called Robots Win. But you might know him better from being in a group called Secret Lives of the Freemasons. That's when I first met Brian over a decade ago when he was singing for Secret Lives. You guys remember them from Victory Records. Awesome band, probably one of the most influential bands on my career, along with Emmanuel. So I'm so happy to kind of have both bands on, just one after the other. Because that kind of helped mold me into who I am now. You know what I'm saying? Secret Lives was one of the bands that took us out on our first big shows and tours. So I'm very thankful to them. And it was great to just sit down and chat and rehash all those awesome tour stories and all of our fun times. And just catch up with Brian, a.k.a. Cliff, a.k.a. Motherhood. And we're going to be talking a lot about his brand new album coming out with his group Robots Win. If you like dark electronic music, this is going to definitely be something you're going to want to check out. They got a new album called Sensitivity Kit that's coming out here in just the next few days. And we're going to be checking out a song from that on the show. So, yeah, guys, this is going to be a really, really good one. And speaking of really good things, I got that Audible sponsorship. A lot of people have been asking me about that, talking to me about that, giving me some congratulations. Thank you guys for reaching out to me, letting me know. Thank you guys for the positive feedback. Everyone that signs up for this Audible free trial, Audible will give money to my show to help me keep the lights on. So this is a game changer. I mean, it really is. It can be a life-changing thing for me. So if you guys want to help out the show for absolutely free. Not only is it free, but you also get a free audiobook. Very tight. I mean, Audible is an Amazon company. We all use Amazon. You just click get your free 30 days when you're on a desktop or laptop. Go to audibletrial.com/Sean vs. Wild and get your free 30 days, get your free audiobook, and then that helps me out. So yeah, very happy with that sponsorship. And I'm also always continuously happy with my OG sponsor, AudiofileInc.com. Shane at Audiofile Inc. has been supporting me since the very early days, and he takes care of me, and he can take care of you as well. So if you have any merchandise that you want to have printed up for your band or your cause or your business or your idea, Shane's got you covered, and he's going to print it on the brands that you love. So you pick whatever you want to have it printed on, whether it's an Anvil or a Gildan or American Apparel or a Toltex. I like the Toltex. They're ultra soft. I get a lot of compliments on it. So yeah, he can get you squared away. Ships to all 50 nifty United States there too. So go to audiofileinc.com. That's audiofileinc.com. AudiofileInc.com. And tell Shane that the Wild Man sent you. He's going to get you set up. So yeah, guys, that's going to be pretty much it for me for my intro. A lot of big things have been happening for me. I appreciate all the feedback. And if you ever have any comments, questions, or concerns, feel free to message me on Facebook. I'm trying to get those Facebook numbers up here for the show. Or you can send me an email, Sean vs. Wild at gmail.com. If you want to be on the show or you know someone that wants to be on the show, just hit me up, bro. I'm interested. I'm interested in having a conversation with you. And if you do like what you hear, you like these conversations, please feel free to like, share, and subscribe across the social media. It's on iTunes. It's on Stitcher. It's wherever you get your podcasts, YouTube, what have you. So just check it out. And yeah, big thanks as always to Joe Brock for booping these dials each and every week, making me sound like $100,000. This is the third podcast we've done in just a matter of 7 days. So, Joe, thank you so much. I know you keep a busy schedule, so I'm forever in your debt, brother. And I'm forever in debt to you, Wildlings. Thank you so much for listening. And yeah, it's time to literally, we're going to sit back. We're going to relax. We're going to get pumped up because, you know, we know that you're feeling sluggish after your three-day weekend, guys. So we're going to crank this volume up to 3,000 and check out Cliff Worsham, a.k.a. Motherhood, a.k.a. my good friend Brian Worsham, and Robots Win, right here on the Sean vs. Wild podcast. All right, guys, you know what to do. Let's get wild. All right, Brian, so which Corey is your favorite? Would you say it's Corey Haim or Corey Feldman?
Oh, shit. I would probably say Sean Astin.
Oh, the third Corey. Yeah, obviously. Sean Astin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who wouldn't have picked that? And literally, this is an inside joke I wanted to start the podcast off with, and nobody's going to know what we're talking about other than the fact that someone once thought that there were three Coreys, and the third Corey was Sean Astin.
Sean Astin, yeah.
Ah, yes. Oh, okay. Of course, Sean Astin, the third Corey. But yeah, dude, Brian, how have you been, man? I haven't talked to you in so long, and I'm so glad that you're doing the show and we can reconnect, man. I feel like I haven't really talked to you other than on Facebook here and there for a long while.
Yeah, totally, man. I've been great. I feel it's awesome. It's totally awesome to reconnect. It's funny because I feel like I've been reconnecting with a lot of people from the past and from playing music in different ways, you know what I mean? Like you with this, and then Chris from The Sleeping. We've reconnected in Asheville recently through different things like tattooing and stuff like that. So it's dope, man.
Yeah, dude. I'm glad to hear that you're doing well. And I've already pre-ordered the album. We'll talk all about the album, but I just want to let you know I went ahead and I've pre-ordered all of it, and I got the fancy schmancy huge package with the limited edition vinyl. I can't wait. I started getting into vinyl collecting recently, so I think this is going to be a nice piece to really tie the collection together.
Dude, it comes with a slit mat. You're going to be on point. You're going to be like, you're going to be professional. When people come over, they're going to be like, oh, he has a slit mat. He knows what's up.
Oh, yeah, dude. He loves Slipknot. He knows what's up. But guys, welcome to the Sean vs. Wild podcast. I'm your host, Sean Astin, and in the studio with me today, in the virtual Smithsonian, harnessing the power of technology, I have Cliff Worsham, a.k.a. Motherhood, a.k.a. my old friend Brian Worsham, from Robots Win. Brian, good again to hear from you, buddy.
Dude, I'm so hyped to be here.
Dude, and you should be, because I have been giving sneak listens myself and just jamming the new album. I know it's not out yet, but we're friends, and you were able to give me a little taste of what's to come, and the new album sounds absolutely fantastic.
Thank you so much. It's really been a process, like a 2-year process, so we're super stoked to finally get it out into the open and have people enjoy it. It's been a long road, it seems.
And guys that are listening out there, the name Brian Worsham may sound familiar to you. Brian used to sing for a band called Secret Lives of the Freemasons. Now, I don't want to focus the whole podcast on that, because Robots Win, absolutely fantastic. But I do want to just kind of bring it up, because that's how we met. We met back in 2004, whenever my first band played with a very young Secret Lives of the Freemasons.
Dude, so we won't count the first instance when I wasn't with the band, because I'd taken a break.
The first instance was actually we played at Fern Creek Community Center, and this was before like Cut and Thrust of Clear Thinking even came out. You guys had like a 3-song demo.
Oh, geez. Yeah, dude, I do remember that. Dude, holy crap.
With your Wicks burning apple fins. That was
dude, that was a long time ago.
What's so great is I've misheard your lyrics over the years on several different records, but that was the first time. I was like, did he just say his wick is burning apple fins? Oh, at both ends.
it's like the plague of those people who just pronounce things weird. Like Kevin does it too. You know what I mean? I feel like, I don't know, we're both singers that like we kind of, you know,
like Fall Out Boy.
I'm like Pete Wentz, you know what I mean? It's easy to screw our lyrics.
Yeah, you are like Pete Wentz, except I think that your levels are much better.
Tight. I mean, I was born with it. So.
Yeah. As soon as you got on the phone, I was like, man, I'm going to have to check your levels. And then they ended up being perfect. And you're like, yeah, I'm pretty much known for my levels.
That's it. That's what we do.
It's kind of a
leveled
thing.
Leveled up.
Leveled up.
Yeah, it's like, can I curse on here?
Yeah, dude. You can say whatever you want, bro. It's the internet,
dude,
man.
That's so tight. It's going to make it so much easier for me. Yeah, I'm not going to say dumb dad curse words. And, you know, I can say real curse words.
Yeah, man.
I forgot all about that whole, the community center. That was where, gosh, we played, I'm trying to think of all the places we played in Louisville there. We played that place, yeah, and then we played some kind of little corner store. Like it was like a,
that was the coffee house
during the day.
What is it? 4th Street Coffee House, or I think it's like on 4th and Hill. So I think it was called 4th Street Coffee House at that point. And that was an awesome show. That place was packed.
That was a great show. That's the one that we went to that house party afterward and got kicked out.
And you acquired a brand new Misfits poster.
I did. And then, you know, somebody peed on somebody's magazines. I don't know. It was crazy.
That's what you get for having 400 magazines in a bathroom, you know?
I mean, they're going to get pissed on, possibly. I don't know.
You throw a huge house party and you have magazines near the toilet, like there's going to be pee all over them. And that's just from day-to-day toilet use, man. That's not even counting a party.
Right, that's not even somebody just walking and hosing those fuckers down, you know?
Yeah, that's just going to be... That's collateral damage there. You know what I'm saying? You're in the splash zone, bro. It's a Gallagher concert out there. You need to tarp up if you're going to want to keep these magazines pristine.
What were those things? Were those National Geographics?
Oh, definitely. I would definitely imagine so. National Geographics. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
And then, yeah, the second time, or that's maybe the second time, I guess the third time around, you weren't there. And that was the night the infamous line came out. I was like, because a good friend, Will, I love Will. Will, yes. If you're listening.
Who I still see regularly. I still see Will regularly.
I love Will. I talk to him. We talk rarely, but it's always on the internet. So, Will, if you're listening to this, buddy, it's... you're in my thoughts, and I greatly miss you. But that was the day he introduced himself, and he was like, "Oh, hey, I'm Will," and I was like, "Will, you tell me where Brian is?"
But that shit still murders me. That shit still murders me. That whole situation,
dude. All of we had a great string of awesome inside stories there for a while, because while you guys didn't play Louisville a lot, we played North Carolina a lot. I feel like,
right,
we always,
you guys were always coming through.
Yeah, so we'd even always
if we,
hang
even
out.
If we weren't like playing shows together, you guys, we were like hanging out.
Yeah,
sure.
And then we had that little tradition for like a couple years where we would spend New Year's Eve together. So we would always go to New Year's Eve and party, and everybody would be like, "Oh, he looks like a dragon."
That was when we had the Homeboy Hotel.
The Homeboy Hotel, which I randomly stole that name whenever we were on Warped Tour. I called our van the Homeboy Hotel Express.
Oh, dude, perfect. It's like, yeah, it's like a Panda Express. It's not as
fancy as the actual Panda itself, but this is a Panda Express.
Right. Is there a Panda Chinese restaurant? I don't know.
It's like I don't think there is, but I get what you're saying, like a Holiday Inn and a Holiday Inn Express.
Right.
But wouldn't
right.
it be great
yeah,
if there
yeah,
was
no,
a...
I fuck with that. No, I'm glad you did that. Sometimes you have to like take great things and let them live on.
Yeah. What if there is a Panda and it's like just kicks the shit out of like P.F. Chang's or something like that?
Right.
Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, we need to... Hey, Siri, is there a Panda Chinese restaurant?
It'd probably be like Panda Express on Merriman Avenue.
No, but my question, Siri, is there a Panda?
Is there like an OG Panda here? That's what we need to find out. And then also the time someone loved your chain. That was another great line. when someone drunkenly looked at you and goes, Oh my
fucking a god. I fucking love it, yo chain.
Oh my fucking a gotta.
I kind of love your chain.
And I got a DeVita. I love your chain.
Man, there's so many good times. Gosh, I think about that all those times regularly. That was a lot of fun in my life.
Dude, and I guess the question, a big question for me that I've been meaning to ask you, because honestly, we just don't get a chance to sit down and chat, is so after Secret Lives puts out two of my favorite albums of all time. After Secret Lives becomes easily the most influential, or one of the most influential bands for Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. When anybody ever used to ask us, I got to tell you this story too. When anybody used to ask us, like, what do you sound like? We'd say, we're a mix of Emmanuel, which was our big hometown band, and then Secret Lives, which was you guys, the first band that ever took us out on any sort of tours and ever gave us any sort of push that, you know, you didn't even have to do it. But that was the two bands that I would say we sounded like. And it was so funny because, you know, I'd be on Warped Tour, for example, and, you know, some people are like, okay, yeah, cool. Emmanuel, Secret Lives, I don't know who that is. But then the people that are in the know, like some people that were like super like important to the tour, I feel like would be like, oh my God, Secret Lives, that was my shit back in the day. Most specifically, Jason from Let Live said that to me. He was like, oh, God, you guys sound like Secret Lives. And we're like, oh, dude, thanks. Those are our homeboys. He goes, man, Secret Lives was my shit back in the day. And I was like, I got to tell Brian this because the influence is still there, bro.
Tight. I feel like we did a lot and we traveled, you know, we toured a lot. We were like touring for like 4 years or 5 years straight at one point. But I don't know. I feel like we didn't really, you know, due to label shit, we didn't get to like harness our potential with that for sure.
You know, I just had a conversation with Brian Whiteman, who played bass in Emmanuel. And he was basically saying, you know, due to label shit, basically, and delays and things like that, you know, basically it dissolved our band. And
yeah,
same with you. And then also same with us in Uh-Huh Baby Yeah. Like,
right.
The delays, the label stuff, like it can take a toll on a band. I mean, it can straight up kill a band that's thriving.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's kind of one of the reasons that with Robots When we haven't even, you know, we've talked to labels, plenty of labels, but it's never been something that we've actively sought, you know, like we've had deal offers and all that. And it's something that we can never commit to because of, you know, my history with labels, and Javier has some history with labels too. So yeah, labels are, I don't know, especially on a small level, I think labels are like destroyers of bands these days.
Right.
They could definitely make a band hate each other.
Yeah, 100%. Well, also too, it's like, you know, if you can't break a band and, you know, like they'll put out an album, they don't put anything behind it, and you're dropped, and then you're left with a lot of debt that you didn't know you've accumulated.
Sure. Well, you have to look at it too, like for us, you know what I mean? Like we were in a race against bands, you know, that were like killing it at the time. You know what I'm saying? You know, Victory is the type of label that'll like put out five records in one day and you kind of have to like sprint to the finish.
Right.
You
exactly.
know, like, so it was, you know, it made it really hard for us, man, because, you know, there was, you know, there's a lot of friends of ours that are on, that were on that label and that were in those bands at those times, you know, and they just happened to be popping and, you know, that's kind of what happened. You know, we kind of got swept. I don't know. I feel like we kind of got swept. I feel like that album, Weekend Warriors, I feel like that album was like a hit.
Yeah. Well, it's still a hit with me because honestly, it's among my favorite albums of all time. It's the most played album that was ever in our van. You know, when we traveled, like, you know, we tour, it was like, you could listen to Weekend Warriors every day. And I love it. And the songs still hold up. Here it is a decade or so later, almost, if not already. And
I think it is. Yeah. I think it's like 10 years now.
And here it is to me. It was different than all the other stuff that was around at the time. And then now when I listen to it, I'm like, new music hasn't even caught up to this yet. It's still different. You know what I'm saying?
So
I feel like it was good. Yeah, I feel like when Jamie, when we were recording that record with Jamie King, he like told me on many occasions, he was like, this shit's going to win me a Grammy. I'm like, shit, that would be tight. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I'll take a Grammy. That really sounds cool. Nice.
Yeah.
Well, and it,
but you know, I mean, shit just happens like that, especially when you're on a label that like is putting out fucking, I don't know, in a 6 month period, they're putting out like 13 records. You know what I'm saying? That's
right.
It's a lot of music to have to try to. You have bands like A Day to Remember that were like, I don't know, they got that, they just had that little extra kick. You know what I mean? And people were like really paying attention, so they got a lot of love from the label, and it kind of let bands like us who were, you know, steady on tour and like trying to push our music kind of left us in the wayside.
Right. Yeah, that's what I was gonna say. Like when you have to compete with somebody like A Day to Remember or like The Sleeping was on Victory at that time too.
Right.
You know, things like that. It's not easy. And then, you know, Victory just kind of went through like a shopping spree. It seemed like they signed a lot of bands all.
Yeah, yeah.
In a short period of time.
In that period of time, man, it's weird too, because I think about, so we were in talks with like four or five different labels when we signed with them. I think about what the situation would have been like if we had gone with one of those other labels. You know what I mean? Like, it probably would have been a lot different, maybe. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, I guess from here, my big question is, so Secret Lives, when you close the book on Secret Lives, what makes you want to go in a completely different direction? And I feel like you just kind of, I remember like seeing you right afterwards and your look was different and the music is different. And what made you want to take on something that's in a complete different direction, I guess? What made you want to stop playing, you know, hard post-hardcore or
right.
pop punk or something like that?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, we have been doing Robots since 08. So, you know, Secret Lives didn't really disband until maybe close to 10. Maybe it was like 9 or something like that. I can't really remember. That whole period of my life is like a blur from being way under the influence.
Same.
But, you know, I guess for me, we had been doing Robots and people didn't really understand it. And that was fine. It was more of like just, me and Javi were like kind of getting our kicks doing weird electronic music. And I'd always been making hip hop beats. You know, even when I was in Secret Lives, I had a hip hop group called The Blades with Jesse from Harvard.
I remember The Blades.
And
yeah.
Our buddy, and our buddy Doug, aka Casanova. So I'd always been doing production. And since I was a teenager, had been producing hip hop beats on whatever kind of machines I could. And in my 20s, I was able to like buy some hardware gear like MPCs and synthesizers like from Moog and stuff like that. So I think that when Secret Lives ended and I started to go down that path, I was just seeking something different. You know what I mean? I was like always into hip hop, and you know that from touring with us.
Right.
I was always listening to hip hop mostly, you know what I mean? Like I like heavy music too, but
you were the first person that had ever shown me Gold Digger by Kanye West. And I remember you showed it to me and I was like, it was like my jam, you know, for like 2 or 3 months. And then they started playing it on the radio and it became like the most popular song ever. And, but yeah, I can say that about you. You're the first person that ever was like, hey, check out this song, Gold Digger.
I feel like I've done that with a lot of music, hip hop wise, for sure. You know what I mean? Like I was always like popping on stuff and then it would become like, it would like be popping. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I guess, you know, the change for me was I wanted to do something different. I was like tired of screaming. I didn't want to scream anymore. And granted, I could have started a heavier band that didn't have to rely on screaming, which I've done now, but I just wanted to do, I don't know, I just wanted to do something different. I wanted it to be like one of those situations that if you were a homie and you would be into it, or if you were like a real fan of like my vocal style when I was singing, you would be into it. Some people couldn't translate over to it, and that's fine. I mean, I expected that shit. You know what I mean? Like I still have people come up to me and they were like, when Secret Lives get back together, I'm like, well, fucking hold your breath.
Well, keep waiting, buddy. We'll tell you when
we're ready. I mean, and that's tight. I'm glad that band had that effect on people. At the same time though, you know what I mean? It's like, if you don't grow and evolve in your life, then what's the point? For me, it was just about, I had become sober at that time, you know, when the reason, one of the main reasons that Secret Lives ended is because I did the last tour we ever did, which was with The Sleeping and Envy on the Coast. And the gay, was that the Gay Blades too, I think? Anyway,
very well,
I did that tour like sober, and it fucking sucked. You know what I'm saying? Like, because I would show up to these places that were used to me, like, you know, that, you know me, I mean, you were there, you know what I'm saying? They were used to me being that fucking person, you know what I mean? So they're like, oh, here's what you're used to having. I brought you these things that you like. And it just sucked for me. And so that was like a big part of the end of it. So, you know, going into robots full time, I was going into it sober. I was like, I don't know. I was just trying to do some different shit in my life. I kind of reached the end of a path with that partying shit and like, you know, making relationships fail and fucking my wife up.
Right.
I wanted to do something different. I guess that was like, that came with it. You know what I mean? Like, I lost a whole bunch of weight and you know what I mean?
I got
into the gym and I started dressing different because I could actually wear cool shit because I wasn't fucking 75, 80 pounds overweight. Like, yeah, it was just different.
Well, you know, just a couple things I want to touch on. One, if you're sober, I will tell you the absolute hardest place to remain sober is on tour. Not only because of the influence of, people, you know, might show up and say, hey, man, I got a 30 back of beer, let's chug it. Or not even because everybody that you'll ever tour with will be partying. That's always a thing, too.
Right.
But surely the, honestly, for me, like, just the sheer lack of things to do on tour, on the road, is what kills me. It's like,
oh, sure.
You might go into it with like all the best intentions, like, yeah, man, like I'm gonna watch what I'm doing and I'm not gonna drink, I'm gonna eat right, I'm not gonna smoke any cigarettes, like we're gonna be
right
cool. And then
people say shit like that until they're sitting in a parking lot for 7 fucking hours.
Exactly. And that's what I was gonna say. Like, load ins at 2 o'clock, shows at midnight. Well, what the hell am I supposed to do in this place?
Right. I'm gonna get fucked up. You know what I'm saying? Like, that was like, yeah, I will catch a buzz and then hopefully I'll be not blackout drunk by the time we play.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, but there's nothing else to do but just hang around downtown by myself, you know, Marcy Playground style. Yeah. There's nothing else to do.
Yeah. So, I mean, that was a big part of it. You know, sobriety was a big part of it. And I mean, I'll use sobriety loosely because I was smoking reefer or whatever, but,
I don't think, you know, that counts, I wasn't really.
I don't think it counts either. No, I think that weed is like a good transitional substance for people who have problems, severe problems with, like, say, benzos and alcohol.
Right.
Which is what I did.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a nice natural, safe alternative. It's an herbal remedy.
Totally. I can't like have to go get my stomach pumped at 4 a.m. because of weed.
Exactly. And also something too, you kind of touched on, I'm going through the exact same thing where you're like, I just want to do a project after I put one project down. That's for, you feel like that's where my homies, or that's for the people that know me and my friends, because I quit playing music and decided I'm going to do a podcast. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm going to do something, not music. I mean, music related, but something where I'm not actually touring or playing drums or spending hemorrhaging a lot of money anymore.
Yeah, right.
So I'm going through the same thing because it's like, you know, some people haven't made the transition, and some people, I just, in this day and age, some people are like, so how's the band going? And I'm like, dude, I haven't played music in like a year. Oh man, you guys been broke up for a year? Cool. I got this podcast. Right. And they're like, well, I don't know what that is. Bye. And I'm like, all right, peace.
Is that on the internet?
Yeah. How do I listen to that? Well, you have a phone, right? Oh yeah. Well, you type in this and then click play. That'll do it. It's just like listening to music, but it's a hour long.
Yeah, right.
So how did robots when officially form? Because you said you've been making beats for a long time. You get connected with Javi.
So I met Javi at Broadway's, which is a bar in Asheville. It's like a locals bar. I was introduced to him just through some mutual friends, and he was like weird looking. He had like a dress shirt on with a red tie, and he was like tucked in, and he just, but then he had like really long hair, and then he had these glasses, and they didn't have lenses in them, and he had like just weird makeup on. And I was just, I walked up to him and I just touched him right on his eyelids. And that was like the first time we ever met each other. And then like a week later, we had three songs done because he had been making all these beats and I had been making beats. And then we, you know, kind of went into the studio together and finished each other's stuff and started making songs. And then we made like that whole EP that for, it was called, it was, so the band used to be called Robots, right? Spelled out R-O-B-O-T-S. And then the first EP we put out was called Win.
Okay.
And so that whole, so the name came from, I'm going to have a stonerism and I'm going to blank out. The name came from a song, right? The song is called Yoshimi versus the Pink Robots. And in that song, the part of the song he says, when those evil robots win. So that's where the band name came from. Truly, it started out as Robots and then Win. And then we, you know, by the time we came out with more music, we changed it to just the RBTS, W-I-Win, because it was really hot at the time. Like, MGMT was out.
Right, yeah.
You know, bands were, like, fucking doing, like, really cool things like that.
Right. I just like that you, another trend setting, you used the word Win way before Charlie Sheen did.
Dude, I did, yeah. And I'm not even going to say that. I was going to say something really fucked up.
And also, too, I contracted other things before Charlie.
Yeah.
I already knew, dude. I already knew where you were going with this.
I know. That's fucked up.
But yeah, dude. So, and then also, too, you were playing with Jim from Secret Lives for a long time.
Yeah, Jim. Well, we put out the Win album, and then at that point, Secret Lives was still touring and stuff, so it was like, it was only a bedroom project. It was nothing more than that. You know what I mean? Like, we played a couple shows here and there. We maybe played like four shows a year or something like that. And then I guess it was probably in, let's see, I want to say like 11 or 12, maybe 11, we put out this album called The Dark Ones. And that was kind of like the first album that we had really honed our sound. You know what I mean? Like, mm-hmm. The first album was really weird. The EP, it was called Robots Win. That EP was like terribly weird dance music. Like, I put autotune on my vocals. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So then when we put out The Dark Ones was kind of like, people have now, in what they say our style is, they call it folk hop, right? So
folk,
it's like
hop.
A folky, because we're like songwriters. So it's kind of like songwriterly, like folk music, but then it's like totally hip hop themed, right?
Right.
As we'd use beat machines and like all that, sample from records and all that stuff. So yeah, from that record, we kind of like really honed our sound, and people kind of started calling us these things like chill hop and folk hop and chill wave and whatever it may be at the time. And we hear a new one like every time people try to put a label on us. It's pretty funny.
Yeah, I like it. You can just make up whatever you sound like. You know, it's like, oh, I'm your rock. Oh, you mean your shoegaze? Like, no, I don't think
right.
So. But yeah, so
we play Bad Boy Dookie Rock.
Right. We're that part. We're like the perfect intersection where cock rock meets butt rock. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Bad Boy Dookie Rock.
The part where the cock rock and the butt rock meet. That's us right here.
Meet. Right.
That's us right there. And, well, you know, also, too, I feel like you're, again, just ahead of the curve, because now electronic music is gigantic. Electronic music buries rock music in terms of listenership and concert tickets. And
I think in a sense it's like people showing up to shows and stuff like that. Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, I don't know. I'd always been into the electronics, you know what I mean? It was, I don't know. Things go in waves, and I wish that we were more popular with the band, with Robots, than we are. But I mean, we do well, you know what I'm saying? But, you know.
Well, hey.
I'm happy. I'm really content with where we're at. But yeah, it's a popular style now, man. It's funny because a lot of people who would have dissed me back in the day, and I know people. This is the funny thing, is that I have people who like were, fuck, I can't believe that you quit doing Secret Lives to do this weird shit, who are now doing weird shit. You know what I mean?
Right,
like,
exactly.
They're like cool guy weirdos, you know, electronic dudes.
Yeah, you just gotta tell them, like, hey, man, it's cool. You didn't get it until it became popular. Like, we get it, you know?
Well, I mean, that's typical, you know what I'm saying? I feel like that's always pretty typical when it comes to... It was the same way when I was... Because I, you know, before Secret Lives, I fucking was in a new metal band in the 90s, and that band did really well in the Southeast. We played with bands like Swift and stuff like that, and I don't know, and then that shit, you know, then I left that band and then started doing this band called Throwing Myself, which then became Secret Lives, you know? And people were like, I can't believe that you're doing this weird emo shit. You know what I mean? But then, like, in the mid-2000s, they were doing, like, fucking emo shit.
Right, exactly. I mean, everything's a trend. All the music is a trend. You just got to be, I don't know, at the right, I guess in the right moment at the right time. And sometimes you're ahead of the curve, and sometimes you're on the curve, and sometimes you're way too late, and it's sad. So, but
for me, I was just always so hungry. I was always just so hungry for music that I found shit. You know what I mean? Like with the Kanye stuff, right? With, like, when you were talking about that earlier, I was so hungry that I would, like, dig deeper, deeper, deeper. I was, like, always digging deeper to find something that really, like, struck me. And, like, I don't know, I guess that's why I've always kind of altered and shape-shifted throughout my career of music.
Yeah, because ultimately, I feel like every genre that you like is just going to get saturated. And when you're tired of listening to, like, the Pretenders, not the band The Pretenders, but the people that are pretending... Right. To play,
to know what they're talking about.
Yeah, that are tired. Like, you know, you're tired of listening to people, like, pretending to play the genre music that you like. You got to move on to something else, because, you know, I mean, otherwise you're just going to listen to the same old tired, recycled, watered down version of the things that you like.
Right, and I think a lot of people do that, though. That's the thing. I think another reason that people can't like, I'm talking recently, as in, like, fucking 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, had somebody come up to me I'm in this new band called Daybreaker. They come up to me at the Daybreaker show and they were like, you know, man, like, Robots Win just really isn't my shit. Like, Secret Lives was my shit, but that Robots Win shit is weird. You just think it's funny that, like, people can, like, come up to you and say shit like that to your face, but they're, like, stuck in fucking 2004. You know what I mean? I'm like, what are you talking about? Like, fucking... You need JNCOs.
Yeah, exactly. And you could just come up to them and be like, hey, you know how, like, you don't play music at all and, like, you work that 9-to-5 job?
Yeah, right.
Like, I'm just not really feeling, like, your job. Like, I'm not feeling you being a waiter, man. You should try to strive
for
something
else. I don't come down there to Firehouse Subs and harass you.
Right. I'm not going to Jersey Mike's, bro, to go over there and give you shit over a pepperoni sub.
Hey, don't you bring Jersey Mike's into this. That's a delicious sub.
Would you say it's your favorite? Penn Station's my favorite sub sandwich. I'm going on the record here. Do you have Penn Station? Have you ever had it?
What's it called?
Penn Station.
What's it called?
Uh-huh. Oh, well, you're going to have to... I'm sorry that they're too good to be in North Carolina, bro. But you should definitely check them out,
dude. You know what, man? We're in North Carolina. Unfortunately, we're lacking in a lot. But yeah, I will say that I do fuck with the Jersey Mike's. That is, like, maybe a weekly to bi-weekly thing that I do touch upon.
Yes, I would say Jersey Mike's is the jam, though, because I've had it and it's better than, you know. Of course, it'll bury your traditional Subway, your Jimmy John's. I think it's better than the Firehouse Subs. But Penn Station's my jam. So if you have the means, I highly recommend you checking out Penn Station. Maybe just come visit me, dude. I got one right by my house.
I know. I need to just come down and visit, and we'll go smash.
We'll smash, and then we'll eat food.
We'll get our sub on.
Yeah, exactly. And then I'm going to come down there. And speaking of great food, podcast is going off on a food tangent here, because I got to talk about Asiana, man. That's the real jam right there.
Yo, they changed the name, though.
Oh, to what?
It's called Yao, Y-A-O, Yao.
Like Yao Ming?
Like, Yao gonna fucking get sick off food in here.
Yao gonna eat some shit.
Yeah.
Perfect. I can't wait to go.
I hope Yao like diarrhea.
I can't wait to go and Yao till I yak, bro. It's gonna happen. So, you got a new album coming out. That's why we're talking. We are catching up, though, and that's always been great. But I want to talk about...
That's great.
I want to talk about the new album that you got coming out. And the new album is called sensitivity kit.
It is.
Yes. Tell me about the album. Tell me about the story behind the album. What were your influences in your writing there?
So, I guess that, you know, with writing the sensitivity kit, we were kind of going into like some really weird times that a then pre-President Trump was like running, and I don't know, it was just really weird. You know what I mean? It like, you started to see, it's weird now to talk about it because of how deep within it we are. You know what I mean? How separated we are as a country and stuff.
Right.
But then, you know, I was heavily influenced with that because people were starting, you then were only starting to see like the initial disconnect of, you know, whether it be family members, brothers and sisters, people were just not getting along with each other because of politics. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, we kind of were losing relationships with, you know, because of people were starting to pick sides and people were starting to, you know, go down those roads that now we're like deep, deep, deep within.
Yeah. Now we're arguing and ready to fight our family and friends every day on Facebook over it.
Right. It's like crazy. Like, so, you know, the whole album kind of came because I wanted to sing about and write about like true, like human connection and human love. And, you know, the fact that, you know, we are one, and if we all, you know, we're going to fall if we don't really rise ourselves up and start realizing what the true problem is, which is them. You know what I mean? It's the higher ups. It's these people who want to control our lives and make us consume. And so, yeah, you know, that's what this album is about. This album is about human connection. It's about the fact that we need each other. And even though we think we see these differences, there are no differences, and this is all just nails that they've driven in between us, you know.
Right. And then your first single is called Weirdo Forest, and you have prepared that for the show today. You've prepared a piece. Don't worry, you don't have to do it a cappella. I'll just drop it in post, so don't sweat it.
Okay, cool.
Okay, cool, because I was just not warmed up, man.
No doubt.
What's Weirdo Forest about? Because I've read an article about what it's about, but tell the listeners what it's about.
Well, I mean, I remember being downtown, and it was raining like crazy, and I was standing under this awning, and I was watching people kind of like run for awnings, you know, because it was like a downpour. It was crazy. And then I saw in a lot of instances, like the homeless people were being like kicked out from under these awnings, you know what I mean? And I'm like, damn, it had me tripping. I was like, everybody deserves a little place to get away from the rain. Everybody deserves at least that. You know what I'm saying?
Right. A little bit of shelter.
Right. Yeah. Right. Like we all need that just a little bit. And it's, so it just made me trip out. And so, you know, that's when I kind of wrote that song. It starts out, it says, when the weather, it came knocking. So I welcomed it in. So yeah, it was just about seeing just simple things like that, that we are not connecting on, that you as a person don't see that this person needs a little shelter from the rain, but you got to go out there and be like, hey, you got to go. You got to get out of here. You know what I mean?
Right.
That trips me out. It just tripped me out. So it tripped me out just so much that I felt like I had to get off my chest with the song, you know?
Yeah. And it's an awesome song. And guys, we're going to go ahead. We're going to play it right now. This is Weirdo Forest by Robots Win. Thank you.
control. This is my ship to steer. Spread the love you have from your soul. Spread the love you have still for. Oh, remember this, remember. I won't shoot shade.
Alright guys, that was Robots Win with Weirdo Forest. Brian, that's a hip tune right there, buddy. That's a great hip tune you have there. I said it as as square and white and nerdy as possible.
Yeah, right. That's a really hip jam you've got rocking.
That's something that you've really got cooking up in your kitchen, bro. I'm smelling what you're cooking there.
Are there pasta in there as well? Because linguine.
Because linguine. That had some extra spice and a little cheese. You know what I'm saying. Anyway, so Brian, album comes out on September 8th. So for all you listeners out there, you got to pick up Sensitivity Kit on September 8th. I know you have a huge show. By the time this airs, it'll be over, but a huge party going down in Asheville. At the time that we're recording this, you're telling me about how you're doing all the party planning right now, a.k.a. getting everything at the venue, making it all happen.
Yeah, man. Tomorrow will be... We wanted to do something special for Asheville because ultimately, you know what I mean? Asheville treats us really well, and our shows in Asheville have been, like, epic the past couple years. So we just wanted to give Asheville the album before anybody else. You know what I mean? The vinyl is going to be available tomorrow. So it's kind of like our vinyl release party, our LP release party. So we got our buddy Marley Carroll playing with us, who's a great electronic musician from the Southeast. He was once in a band called Mr. Invisible that did really well. Actually, it was like a rap group. And then my homeboy Eric Lottery, who's also from Charlotte, who's a rapper, part of the Permanent Vacation crew, which is just some really close friends of ours. The artist who is like visual and music and all that stuff. We just kind of like drive each other to do ours and push it. But yeah, man, I'm excited to put this out into the world. It's been such a long process. You know, I think it's gonna be a good party. Yeah. I hope so anyway. If it fails, I'm probably just gonna go away forever.
You know what I'll probably do? I'll probably just, go play some more shows and put out another album here in about a year or so. So
yeah.
I'll probably just, continue making my art and my craft. But, I'll be kind of bummed for a little bit. But yeah, guys, most of you listening, hopefully you have already caught the show in Asheville. Maybe that's what drew you here to the podcast. But for those of you that haven't gotten a chance to see Robots Win live and in color, where can people find you guys? Because I know you got some shows coming up here in the month of September and October.
So we're playing September 23rd. We're going to be in Charlotte. September 2nd, we're going to be in Greenville, South Carolina. The 29th of September, we'll be in Atlanta. So I know we have more coming up than I'm probably brain farting on. But yeah, we got some shows, which you can check out our webpage, just rbtswin.com. You can check out all the tour dates and all that stuff there.
I'm surprised you don't have a Ground Zero date. I was just talking to a friend of mine about playing Ground Zero, which we played with Secret Lives at Ground Zero a time or two. And I was like, yeah, man, it's just one of those places where you go there and you just know it used to be a strip club.
Are you talking about Ground Zero in South Carolina?
In Spartanburg, South Carolina.
I thought you meant in New York City. We were playing at Ground Zero.
Yeah, I'm surprised you guys aren't playing at Ground Zero, man. You could tell that place used to be a strip club. Jeez. Way to take it.
Holy shit.
Just took it to.
Yeah, so no, Ground Zero. Robots has never played at Ground Zero in Spartanburg. I don't know why not. Usually we play, there's a place in Greenville, it's called the Radio Room, and it's just an awesome little, it's now a bigger club. It was this tiny little place that you wouldn't even, it was so unsuspect, but now they've moved into a bigger situation. They have a better sound system. But the Radio Room in Greenville, it's kind of more up our alley. I guess Ground Zero might be a little more known for metal and stuff like that.
Yeah. It's really known for having an abundance of mirrors for a venue because it used to be a strip.
Yo, I've seen some great bands there though. I'll say that. Back when I was a kid, listen to this shit. I went and saw Slipknot there when they had just put out that first record on Roadrunner, and I was probably, 20 years old, maybe.
That's crazy. Well,
And I met those dudes. Listen to this. One of my friends, who I'm still friends with, he took a picture of them without their masks on, and they smashed his fucking camera.
No way.
Yeah, he had a disposable camera, and they smashed it, and then they went to Walmart and bought the dude a new camera, and then gave him a T-shirt, and they put their masks back on and took pictures. It was pretty tight, dude.
Wouldn't you just love it?
If
the dudes at Slipknot smashed your camera and then they had to walk you through Walmart to get a new one. So you're just hanging around with nine dudes in masks and jumpsuits looking for disposable cameras.
No, dude. they were going to Walmart anyway, but they hooked it up. They were nice dudes, but Ground Zero, dude, that place, I've seen some crazy shows there. I've seen a lot of shows.
The first time
I saw Wesley Willis there. You know who that is?
Oh, yeah, dude. Cut the mullet.
Dude, I saw Wesley Willis there. He headbutted me there.
He headbutted me there. That's one for the record books.
Yeah. I've seen a lot of good bands, man. Ground Zero. I should book Robots there, and we probably will get hit with 20 bottles.
Yeah, obviously 20 MGD bottles.
Yeah, they're like, what's this? These dudes look like.
What the hell is this, man? Damn, I'm here to listen to Black Smoke Cherry or whatever.
Yeah, right. You're like, put on Crazy Bitch by fucking.
Buck Cherry.
Buck Cherry.
I'm here to hear Crazy Bitch. Dude, what was that place that was not far from Ground Zero that was like, it looked like it was like a sub place? Speaking of sub restaurants. But,
it was called Miami Subs.
Miami Subs. But what I love about it, it was the most Scarface wallpaper. It was green and hot pink, very 1985,
Miami.
Yeah. I love that place. And honestly, I never ate there. I just stopped there to pee one time, and it's been etched in my memory.
The sandwiches are good. One time, listen to this, in Secret Lives, one time we played at Ground Zero, and this is ridiculous. So we played Ground Zero, and my friend was there, and I was like, yo, I'm going to ride back with you. And he was like, cool. I was like, yo, we got to hit that Miami Subs on the way out. And I was like, by the time we hit Miami Subs, I was like, wasted. I was gone. I was like blacked out, right?
Right.
And so I fucking blackout eat this whole sandwich, right? You know the one. You know you've eaten a sandwich blackout many a time.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So I eat this whole sandwich, and I'm sitting there, and he's like, it's like, damn, I don't really feel all that good. He was like, do you think that I should pull over? And I was like, maybe you should. And then I just puked a whole Miami Sub into, like, that little place where people put trash in their door. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
That little, oh my God,
that cubby, it's for something. The only thing that people do is put trash in it.
Yeah, it's like for your road map or something like that. But yeah, people just put trash.
No, it's a trash receptacle. And I that night filled it with vomit, with a whole Miami Sub.
Oh my God. Dude, Miami Subs is so great. Oh, is it still there? I got to go. I got to just make a road trip.
It's still there. Yeah. It's still there.
I got to just make a road trip where I go to all these places. And
no, it's going to be called the Sub Trip. It's going to be called the Sub Trip of 2018, and it's just going to be you jamming out to a bunch of different subs.
Yeah, exactly, dude. I need to have my own. Sean versus Wild has a YouTube channel, but instead of it being podcast, it's mostly me eating subs and ranking them and how good they are to how poor they are.
But you're not going to mom and pop sub places. You're going to like
I'm going to Subway.
I'm gonna go to the Subway in Sulphur Springs, fucking South Carolina.
Yeah. I wonder if the Subway at Sulphur Springs is any better than the Subway at Hebron, Kentucky. The one at Hebron's 24 hours.
Which is the one that I got botulism at.
That's hilarious, dude. Madness reigns here on the podcast. And you're going to be in Atlanta, and you're going to be in Charlotte. And speaking of Charlotte, man, not to get too much off topic, this is kind of a heavy subject, but I saw that they tore down Tremont.
Yeah, man, Tremont is gone. It sucks. It's like one of those things. I actually got to play one of the last shows there. It was I played like a hip hop show, but yeah, man, they tore that fucker down. That whole area is like, it's like anywhere else that at one point it was a different place, you know what I'm saying? And people right. didn't want to live there, or at least the people who want to live there now didn't want to live there. And they're just, you know, it's just going through a big change, and unfortunately that club had to succumb to that, and they'll probably put like a high rise apartment building there, and it'll have like a Starbucks in it and shit.
So it'll just be like it's just become a gentrified area.
Oh, it's crazy. Yeah, it's insane. Like, it's that whole area. You wouldn't even recognize it if I took you there. It would blow your mind. It's nothing like it once looked. It's Charlotte's one of those places that, like, you could go there every other month and it looks different every other month.
Yeah. And you just, Charlotte's also probably one of those places where you just go and Ric Flair's pumping gas, you know, wherever
dude,
you go.
Your boy, he's in the hospital. You better watch her, dude.
I know, dude. Ric Flair, we're sending out all the best vibes to you, dude. I don't want to curse anybody because, you know, hopefully you're still around by the time this podcast airs. Ric Flair, you're the man. And to be the man, you got to beat the man. Woo. So.
Woo.
Woo Nation, dude. Ric Flair country, Charlotte. So, yeah, dude. And, you know, I've been seeing you getting a little vocal. You're talking about just kind of the state of affairs of the world, and how the new album is kind of based on where we were pre-President Trump. And, you know, I've been seeing you become more and more active, more and more vocal now that it's post-Trump. Let's just touch briefly on, you know, because I know that you are opinionated on this sort of thing. Like, what do you think we have to do to, you know, I don't know, just come together and unify, you know, I guess if that's going to be the thing.
Yeah, sure. I mean, I think that ultimately we have to realize that the agenda, that every, you know, all government, the agenda that they're all putting forth isn't in our favor. It's not, you know what I mean? We, I don't know. I think that we have to realize that, that we're not different. You know what I'm saying? That even though we have these things on the outside of ourselves that, you know, make us think that we're different, and they constantly want to make us think that we're different, that we're not at all. You know, we're all doing the same things. We're just surviving
right
in this world and hurtling through outer space. You know what I mean? I tell people a lot that I used to be like, I'm still pretty socially awkward, but when I used to get terribly like socially awkward, I would be like, man, everybody's afraid. You know what I mean? Everybody in this whole situation that I'm walking into is afraid because none of us know what any of this is about. You know what I'm saying? Like, so that would, for a long time, I used that as a tool to like be okay in certain situations that I was like walking into.
Right.
And it helped me, you know, take better control of those situations or not let them overwhelm me, you know what I mean? Or make anything awkward or hit a motherfucker or some shit.
You know, very rarely do I ever get political on this show, but you kind of touch on some things that I know that we're probably in agreements of and which is simply, you know, it's not the issue is not necessarily with us. We're all, or the most people that are going to be listening to this and people that are going to be interacting on Facebook, no matter what side you're on, like socially, we're pretty much all in the same boat. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
Economically, we're in the same boat. We're all struggling.
Totally.
We're all paying our bills. We're working hard. Some are paying more bills than others, but we're all just trying to survive, you know, hand to mouth, paycheck to paycheck, whatever the case may be. And those that are
right
in power, or those that are kind of bringing all of this animosity, those people don't necessarily have our community's best interest at heart. Those people
they're so out of touch with the community that it would be alien to them. You know what I mean? Like, those people aren't, I don't know, they're not, those people aren't doing what we're doing. They're not like, you know, they're definitely not starving. They're definitely not
worried about bills.
You know, they might be sick, but they have great fucking healthcare.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they're making like 250 grand to 600 grand a year. You know what I mean? It just is insane to me. That's the real problem. And that's what everybody has to realize is, you know, even the people who were fooled into voting for Trump and, you know, he had this whole thing, he was going to drain the swamp, but he's like drained the swamp for a fucking cesspool. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. We just have to realize, I don't know. I think a lot of people are going to have to suck up their pride. You know what I mean? For us to all start seeing each other as what we are.
Yeah.
A lot of people are going to have to lose their ego. A lot of people are going to have to lose their arrogance. There's so much arrogance going around right now. It's insane to me. Like, people are just so fucking arrogant.
I read a book a few years ago all about, it's called A New Earth by Eckhart Tolle. But it's all about just the age old idea of losing the ego. And when I read that book, I realized that they're like, this is an arrogant statement. This is an egotistical statement. Things that you would say, or I would say, you know what I'm saying, all the time. And after reading that book, and I'm just, you know, I try very hard to not have a big ego, to try to stay pretty humble and be helpful and stuff like that. But you're right, man. Like, I see it all the time where people are like, you know, me, 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 whether it's them saying how cool they are or people saying like how sick they are or how bad they are or how bad they have
right
it. And I'm just like, you know, it's a right very arrogant world. And a lot of times we're just very much tied up into all of our own problems that we don't see the problems of other people, and those problems don't
right
matter. And that's kind of what's separating us, maybe, I guess, in my thoughts,
right,
maybe that's what's separating us.
We are all these things that are walking around with like a million thoughts in our head. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes my mind eats me alive because I can't shut it off. You know what I'm saying? Like, my mind is always racing.
I'm the same way.
And I try to think about that with everyone, you know what I mean? That everyone has these like inner monologues and these, I hope so anyway. There's some people are probably just like, I don't know.
I like to think
like a
too,
track.
Sometimes I feel like that, like, man, all I do, I just overthink everything and my mind's racing and all that sort of thing. And maybe I'm all alone. And then I realize like, that's the egotistical thought here. Like, dude, you're not all alone, because I'm sure everybody's mind races all the time, you know, at least hopefully they,
oh, for sure.
Hopefully it's not just somebody that thinks of nothing all day long and just gets through their day.
That's what I'm saying. There's like just a whistle track in here. It's like,
I'm having the best day ever, like every day.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I mean, we have to put our arrogance down. We have to like put our, I think that you should have self-worth, you know what I mean? But I don't think you should have so much self-worth that you can like step on people. You
right.
know what I mean? So for me, a lot of what I've been trying to do is just be selfless and just do things and, you know what I mean? Help people and try my, whatever that may be. That could be as simple as, you know, just talking to somebody, man. You know what
right.
I mean? Some people, like all they need is someone to just talk to them for a little bit. And so I've just been trying to be better at stuff like that and like getting to know my neighbors, you know what I mean? Like talking to my neighbors and saying, hey, how are you? I know that I look like this and you look like that, but how's your day? How's life?
Right.
You know what I mean? Hope it's treating you well, and then move on. And I don't know. I've just been trying to spread it that way. You know, I think that that's going to be the best way, is that instead of being like, never talking to your neighbors or never opening up to people, it's going to keep that fence up. You know what I mean? And if the only way that we're going to see that we are all equals is by just talking to everyone and being nice to everyone and helping everyone. And I don't know, hopefully, I mean, that's an ideal world for me anyway.
Right. Yeah. And you live in an, you know, honestly though, I bet Asheville is just, how's that? I feel like Asheville is like a friendly place. It's an embracing place. Or is that just a stereotype from someone, an outsider there? I mean,
I think most certainly it is. But at the same time, I think that within a place like Asheville, that's like, I don't know, it's blue. You know what I mean? It's a blue speck in a fucking red state. You know
that's
what I'm saying?
True, yeah.
So, it's what I would say is progressive, but even within that though, you get, you know, what I call like progressive racists and people who consider themselves to be really progressive, but they're not truly opening themselves up to everyone's reality. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I gotcha.
So it's cool, but at the same time, you know, you get a lot of that bullshit in there.
Well, that's a trouble you get into when you paint anything in such a broad stroke, like, hey, Asheville's probably a great place. Well, just like with everything, it is very great, but then there's also other things that are going on. You can't, you know, paint something with such a broad stroke, you know? So,
yeah, I mean, Asheville has right now one of the, like, the biggest, it's like one of the highest gentrification rates in the country. Like, it's like going through, they're just wiping out whole neighborhoods over like a month period. You know what I mean?
That's crazy.
On the south slope of Asheville right now, it's what they're calling this new part of town. That used to, it was just like, I don't know, it was just a neighbor. I mean, I hung out there as a kid, you know what I mean? We hung out all over downtown. I never had any problems with anybody. And if I did, it was like, we solved them. But yeah, on the south slope of Asheville, they just, like, a bank came in and bought like a whole housing development and like displaced like 62 families or some shit like that.
Yeah, man, if you ever had problems back in the day, dude, you just had a dance battle your way out of it, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Just had to break dance your way out of it, put on some music. So,
but yeah, Asheville's changing, man. It is what it is. It's everywhere in America right now, unfortunately. It's like, you anywhere you go, that's kind of happening in all the places, you know? I'm sure that Louisville is like that.
Yes, very much so. And Louisville just kind of struggles from the identity, because Louisville, you know, it's a blue speck in a red state, you know, for the most part. Same
right.
Same with Asheville, you know. So, But, you know, we're just going to have to, we're going to have to break dance our way out of this, man. You know, thankfully.
Dude, we have to, man.
You know what I'm saying? Thankfully, Robots Win is putting out a brand new album that will, you know, allow it to be the soundtrack to us break dancing our way out of this thing.
Dude, we got beats, man. We got beats.
We got beats, bro. Well, and I tell you what, as we're winding down here, as we're whining and dining here, where can people find Robots Win on the internet?
So, Robots Win, you can find our music anywhere. We're on Spotify, Tidal, Apple Music, you know, iTunes, all that stuff. So if you want to hear the music, you can just go to your favorite outlet for that and you can hear us. If you want to, you know, if you want to buy the records, you can check out, right now you can pre-order our new record via our label that's putting it out, which is not really, it's a friend of ours who has a label, so we didn't even sign a contract, but it's feveredvisions.com, so feveredvisions.com to pre-order, and then rbtswin.com to check out any of the robot stuff that we have currently going on.
Fantastic, dude. And I'll put all of that, guys, in the show notes so that way you can see the links. Pre-order the album. There's a lot of exclusive content that you get with the album. Like I said, dude, I got limited edition multicolored vinyl there. I got a Slipknot, dude. I got a Slipmat, bro, and all kinds of great stuff. And
and a cassette tape. Yeah, you get a cassette tape that has like all the unreleased tracks from the record and the record on a tape format. So yeah. Right.
There you go, man. So whether you have a record player or cassette player, dude, put your tape decks on record and check out the new Robots Win album. And Brian, dude, it's great to speak to you again. And I just want to have you on the podcast again very shortly, and we can just sit around and
I'm with it.
And just get real into the BS, dude, because we have so many awesome stories, and I feel like we only touched on very few of them.
I know, man. Yeah, we should just have like a storytelling podcast. You know what I mean? Like that would be like the fire shit.
Yeah, dude, that's what we're gonna do. So I'll have you back 100%, and we'll just sit around and let everyone know about the madness that once was.
I'm cool with it.
Our crew and your crew, man. The homeboys that stayed at the Homeboy Hotel. So. Yeah, guys, if you like what you heard here today, you can check out Sean versus Wild. I'm also on iTunes, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcast, it's going to be there. YouTube, what have you. Like the Facebook page, my Instagram, Twitter. I'm going to be posting all the links to Robots Win stuff, so pick up their stuff as well. And Brian, as we're or Cliff, I should say. As we're winding down, bro, I just have a very important phrase that I need to say to you as well.
Oh shit! All right,
you ready for this?
I am.
Train station, rock and roll, baby. Another of the great misheard lyrics of by me of Secret Lives.
Here's what you need to do. This will be your thing. You will start a Secret Lives cover band, but you will only sing the lyrics that you heard. You know what I'm saying?
I will like, only sing what I heard, guys. This song is called Train Station.
Right. So it'll be
Train
like,
Station.
Train Station, Train Station, Rock and Roll, Bay.
Bay Bay. That's a Tremont memory right there. Seeing you guys play that,
dude.
And you and I singing that specifically incorrect lyric together.
I remember that, yeah. I remember that.
And that's,
I'm one of those people that'll ruin a show for a good joke.
Yeah, dude. And I have seen it done, and that's what I love about you, buddy, amongst all the other things. So will you tell me where Brian is? So, man, I thank you so much for having this conversation with me late in the night. And don't be a stranger, brother. I'll have you back on very soon, okay?
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Shout out to you, and shout out to everybody who has been paying attention to me for over the years. I really appreciate everybody's love. So holler.
Holler. And guys, thanks so much for tuning in, listening to the show. This has been the Sean versus Wild podcast.